I would like to take you with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I am pressed to use the Amplified because of the extra words, trying to bring in as much clarity as I can. I mean, you know, sometimes you can have two different opinions in the same house. By the way, you don't have to have a different person. It's just inside of you. It doesn't have to be a building. This house can have two different opinions. And there were times when I was faced with dilemma, trying to understand God, what He wanted from me, what He wanted for me, what He was trying to get through to me, etc., etc., etc. And the Lord provided a scripture through a friend of mine who's gone home to be with the Lord in verse 15. It says, let those who are spiritually mature and fully grown have this mind and hold these convictions. And if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you also. Implying that there are times that you will hit corners in your spiritual walk that are going to be confusing. You'll have one opinion one day, and the next day you'll have a different opinion. And the only one that you can rely on to bring you to the fullness of truth is Christ. 2 Peter 1, verse 14, also will bring a little more clarity. So I don't need to go there, but if you're making notes, kind of look at 2 Peter 1, verse 14. And I don't want you to go there because I want you to back up. But I got a little note there that says that it will bring clarity, clear things, clear understanding. Now, when God begins to, let's say, impact your religious mind, you're going to discover that he's going to shake and rattle all of what you perceived was God. And then He'll take you a little higher as you submit to Him, and the clarity begins to come. And He did that with me. He's done it with many, many others. And He may do it with you, depending on your submissiveness. Okay? Romans 6:16 says, to whom you submit to, you become a slave to. Well, you can become a Holy Ghost servant to the Lord. And let Him form you into what He wants from you because of the gifts that are instilled within you. But if you submit to stubbornness or self-righteousness, you will become a slave to those things. Or if you submit to a wrong thought pattern that you believe is truth, it will be your truth for the rest of your days until you decide to change it. Okay. Many times I've learned over the years that I never knew things as I should. A spiritual father of mine used to say, I know nothing as I should. I only know what I know today for this moment because He may decide to give me deeper revelation tomorrow. So that takes all this wonderful attitude that I've got it right and you better submit out of the picture. Because when you think you've got a particular knowledge of God and He's revealed a percentage of Himself to you, just like He did with Moses, He decides to kick you into the Holy of Holies, and now He says, look it, My mercy seat's on top of the law. Right? But the law is what got Him in trouble. I mean, you know, He got a little upset with the guys because they were partying. Well, he went back up and he did it again. But still, see, revelation comes a little bit at a time, and now he's really expecting these wonderful creations to come out of slavery and come out of their bondage, and he's upset with God because their bondage is still on them. They've got a slave mentality. They want a party. Okay? And what am I saying to you? I'm trying to give you an understanding that I believe the Lord would have preferred if Moses would have laid himself down and began to repent, which is what he does later. Amen? When the plague breaks out, Moses lays down and he says, "Wait a minute, Father, forgive them." And the plague stops, right? So what did he learn? Did he learn from his failures? Do you and I learn from ours? Ah, I like that. That's a good word. Because I sometimes think I finally made it, and then all of a sudden, some little piece breaks out, and I say, "Oh my God, that same old garbage is back at it again." And then I look for clarity, which is a lot better than trying to beat myself up with the law, which I used to do. And I still find myself doing periodically because that old pattern is still pretty much alive. I'd like it to be completely dead, but it's not. I'm working on that, which is where we're going now. Verse 10. "For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively..." Now that word "progressively" should be put with a little circle around it, because I believe if you don't have that "progressively" in your NIV, you better put it there. Because it's a progression. You build on what you learn. And you build until the fullness of revelation is manifest in you. It says, "that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him." Meaning, Moses did not have a face-to-face revelation of the Lord the first time around. It came with a burning bush, and it progressed from there. "Perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing." That word also should have a little circle around it. Because if you noticed, on one of those songs that we listen to, he says, "I want the flow of love to flow out of my spirit." Is the flow of love flowing out of your spirit? Or is it a flow of anger? Or is it a flow of corrections? Or is it a flow of deceptions? Depending on the circumstance, it might be any one of those or a combination thereof. So, "I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection." How do you and I get an outflowing of his resurrection if we haven't had a death? Do you ever get totally disgusted with yourself and you say, "I can't change me for all the money in the world, so God, I give it up"? That's a form of spiritual death. That's a form of admitting that you can't change it, and we've talked about that multiples of times before. But I'm trying to show you that there's an outflow that's going to begin to work, and it's going to start on you. And it will progress from you. And it will start covering those around you. And might make a few uncomfortable. And it just might draw someone to you that you would have never connected to any other way. "The power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his suffering as to be continually transformed in the spirit into his likeness, even to his death." even to his death. Even to his death. Do I really want to taste his death? Where did Jesus really die? Was it on the cross? Where did he die? He died in a garden. Yes. He died in the garden. He did not choose to defend himself. He didn't choose to call for the angels to deliver him out of that garden. He died in the garden. Now his physical body died on the tree. But his soul died in the garden. That's one of the things that I learned when I was in Israel. The impact of that particular garden. I knew it was a spiritual experience in my spirit. My brain was trying to connect the dots, and I couldn't stop crying. I can't tell you why I was crying. To this very day, I still don't have the answers. I can tell you this. One of the impacts was the name of the church. And that church's name has been embedded in me. Because it said a church for all nations or nationalities or ethnicities. It wasn't singled out for the French or the Irish or the Germans or Puerto Ricans, Latinos, whatever. It doesn't matter your label. A church for all ethnic backgrounds. And I wept. That was in very bold, large gold letters running straight across the front. Had an awesome mural at the top. The mural meant nothing compared to the words. You see, God was impacting what he had prepared that he would bring to life down the road. Was the House of Prayer for All Nations birthed there? I believe so. Did I understand it there? No. Did I comprehend it later? He made it clear. Because that was one of my prayers while I was in the church. Because I couldn't see for the first 3/4 hour. I couldn't breathe either, by the way. Verse 11, that if possible I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead even while in the body. You see why it's important with the amplification? That even when you're alive in this flesh, you can still come to life. Because you laid down your life. And you laid down your will. And you laid down your emotional turmoil. And you said, Jesus, it's okay to let it die. Now will you give me the power to rise above it? Will you let me come to life in your power and in your strength? Verse 12. Not that I have now attained this ideal or am already made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of and make my own, or grasp and make my own, that for which Christ Jesus, the Messiah, has laid hold of me and made me his own. Made me his own. Is that what your Bible said? No. What does it say?
12, you said?
Yep.
It is not that I've already reached the goal or have already completed the course, but I run to win that which Jesus Christ has already won for me.
Won for you.
Won for me.
Yeah. But he also made me his, which is a making process, or a process of making me his own. Meaning that I need to submit in order for that process to take place. See, it's one thing to be his, but to understand that he's the one that's challenging me to become and keeping me submissive so that I can become. Have I completed my race? Have I completed all that I've been prepared to do? Absolutely not. You see, my understanding, you know, my friend walked in and he said, you know, standing room only. And I liked it because I asked the Lord today, I said, please, Lord, because we've got some on vacation and other places, and that's fine. But bring the ones that need to hear this. Because there are some that are going to hear and obey, and some that will hear and keep on walking. I believe you're here because you want to obey. I believe that he is building up a body of believers that are coordinated to work together without friction and without their own agenda. Are you catching on? When your agenda is his, then he'll be able to do out of us what he's already decided that he wants to do. But he can't do unless we humble ourselves to each other and become teachable to each other and listen to the hearts of each other until the fullness of Christ is formed in all of us. It's not me doing it to pray and intercede for all of you. That is a job that I have. But it's not the only job. The other job is to get you to grow up and to become mature and to be instruments to bring others to maturity. That's the whole press of a body of believers. So that he will not release us into a new place or a new space until we become one. Did the Holy Ghost come down before they were in harmony in the book of Acts? If I remember correctly, it's over 500 that started off, and he whittled them down to 120. And that was Jesus himself teaching. That's pretty scary. Today's mega churches, and I'm not going to say anymore because opinions are a dime a dozen in all directions. I've been to those. It's a fabulous, wonderful experience to feel the anointing in a big congregation full of the Spirit of God. It's a marvelous thing, but I guarantee you this. God is working with individuals. He's working with small groups. He's working with those that are humble to each other. Not just humble before him, but humble to each other. Ready to hear what the Spirit of God wants to create on the next level. Verse 13. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. I love the yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Yeah. Focusing on your failure of yesterday is a no-no. Focusing on the failure of this afternoon, don't do it.
You're killing me.
Huh?
You're killing me.
Cross is over there, and you can just seems to me I remember saying I love you. You mean you failed this afternoon, girl? Look at me. Uh-oh. Oh. Would you kind of take a peek in the other side? Huh? You had a big one. You saw Adam again? Did you see Adam?
No, I wasn't.
I heard story of that. I know it's Massachusetts, but...
You was Adam. How many of you were Adam? Would you stand, please? Let's just join hands. You see, if we realize that we were and are Adam, and Adam is still connected to us, and we're still very much involved in that Adamic stuff, let's say it together. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I see Adam in me.
I see Adam in me.
The old nature pushing forward.
The old nature pushing forward.
And if I never saw it.
If I never saw it.
I couldn't ask you to change it.
I couldn't ask you to change it.
So look around at each other. You see, we all saw it. Different levels. Different devils. Using us. Having their way. Maybe things we didn't like, huh? Okay. So, Lord Jesus, say it together.
Lord Jesus.
We confess our sin.
We confess our sin.
Thank you, Lord. She's keeping the whole box. Lord Jesus, we do confess our sin. 1 John 1:9 is your truth.
1 John 1:9 is your truth.
And when I confess my sin, it is a done deal. My Father has forgiven me. I accept that forgiveness. And I'm even going to forgive myself. And I'm going to forget what is behind. And I'm going to look forward
to the resurrection power
that's alive in us,
working in me.
And working in you.
Delivering us.
From where we were. And we're on our way up. To maturity, Lord.
We're not going to look back.
And see ourselves.
With the condemning thoughts.
And condemning words. That bring destruction. And help the enemy. Adam's got enough power of his own. We don't need to add to it. So we give you the praise. That we step out of the old.
And we can't have a resurrection.
Without a death. So I die to the old, Lord.
And I give you praise.
And I'm learning to lay it down.
In a tomb.
And put the stone in front.
His name is?
Anybody know who the rock is? Amen. Amen. So we put the rock. And roll it down. Right over the cave. And yes, I was in darkness. But there's a resurrection.
That's working on me.
And working from within me. And what I was. Is past and it's the old.
And
what I am now.
Is a maturing process
in progress.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I am learning to forgive myself consistently.
Because if I don't,
what are the fruits if I don't? Guilt, condemnation, what else?
Exhaustion.
All right, exhaustion. How about depression? Does he come to visit?
Absolutely.
Oh, really? So you see the friends that you can submit to and become a slave to if you do not forgive yourself.
Start falling into disbelief.
Yes. And you backslide. No fun.
Hold on to each other. Let me finish this because we're almost done.
I repeat, verse 13. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward for what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize, the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling me upward. So God is calling me to go higher. Declare it. God is calling me to go higher. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and fully grown have this mind and hold these convictions. And if in any respect
I have a different attitude of mind,
God will make it clear
to me
by His Spirit. Close in a little bit. Father, you've called us to be one. You've called us to hold on to each other. You've called us to make a chain of love with each other. Not a chain of condemnation, not a chain of fault finding, but a chain of constant compassion and mercy. And yes, the mercy seat is Christ Jesus. He was put over the law that brought me condemnation, brought me guilt, brought me all kinds of depression. But today, I go forward with choice. I don't look back. I look to Jesus, the one who began this good work. We'll finish it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.